This is KRCB's North Bay Report. I'm Bruce Robinson. Turtles are slow. Everyone knows that, but did you know they also have exceptionally keen eyesight? That was one of the interesting things that Sonoma State biology professor Nick Geist learned while observing the nesting of some western pond turtles last summer.
We'd sit up in the blind. People would walk by right underneath me, never look and see. Deer would walk by, wouldn't see. We had foxes run by. And here's a turtle, it's about a foot long, if that. And you just kind of swing your head a couple of times, and the turtle would spin. It might be 50 yards from you and lock its eyes on you. We've had cases where we've walked down to a pond where there are turtles, and I've come up to a hill where I've been still 150 yards or more away, and all I can see is a little brown spot on a log. Looked at him with the binoculars, and the turtle is there, locked eyes with me. It's already spotted me. So, yeah, they have very acute eyesight.
Further observations conducted from within a blind led Geist to suspect that pond turtles, like their much larger cousins, sea turtles, are particular and consistent about just where they go to lay their eggs, a pattern known as nest site fidelity.
When the females come out looking for a nest, they seem to know right where they're going. They're not randomly wandering out there and just laying the eggs. They have some sort of internal map, I think. I think nest site fidelity is probably a widespread phenomenon in turtles, not just sea turtles.
Geist was watching the turtles as part of an ongoing experiment, for which he collected their eggs, then incubated and hatched them in his lab, tracking how temperature affects the gender of the young amphibians. Once that data has been charted, the little turtles can be returned to the wild, which has proven to work quite well.
Turns out, turtles have this very primitive reptilian brain. They don't imprint on their keepers. We take great care and caution not to handle them too much so they don't get acclimated to their keepers. But it's far less of a problem with turtles than it is with other species. They've been doing this for over a decade up in Washington, and they've had something like 90%+ survival of the turtles that they release. They know what to do immediately when they get in the wild. They know how to feed. At this point, they've got some of the females coming back and breeding successfully. So it's worked very well.
It's something that Geist would like to see happen on a much wider scale.
My dream would be that there's this coordinated effort between academic institutions and zoos where eventually we can start reintroducing turtles into areas where they've been extirpated. And there are large swaths throughout their former range where the turtles are just gone.
But there's one big potential problem, which goes back to that question of nest site fidelity.
We might spend a lot of energy in keeping these little riparian zones nice and pristine. But if we don't preserve the outlying areas where the turtles can nest, it's not going to do them any good. They actually go some distance from the waterway into dry soils where they nest, and they're very specific about where they go. So if all we preserve is the waterway, then we'll just keep the turtles alive for their normal lifespan, but we're not going to get any new generations of turtles.
There's more information about turtles, their history, and their significance at krcb.org/north-bay-report. I'm Bruce Robinson reporting for KRCB News.